So we need a Bhagavatam because we don't have the whole Bhagavatam memorized yet. I'm working on it. So Bhagavatam? No Bhagavatam. Thank you. Okay. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, chapter 18, text 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dravya, Kriya, Hetu, Ayanesha, Kartrivir, Maya, Gunair, Vastu, Nirikshitatmane, Anvikshaya, Anvikshayan gati shayatma. Budivir nirasta maya krittaye. Namo namaha. Dravyakriya het vavane shukratribir. I'll go slower. Maya gunar vastu nirikshitatmane. Anvikshyangat. Tishayatma Buddhibir. Nirasta Maya Kritaye Namo Namaha. Dravya Kriya Het Vavane Shakrat Kartribir. Maya gunar vastu nirikshitatmane. Anvikshyan gatishyatma buddhivir. Nirasta maya kritaye namo namaha. Dravya kriya het vavane shakrat kartribir. Maya gunar vastu nirikshitatmane. Anvikshyangatishayatma buddhivir. Nirasta maya kritaye namo namaha. Okay. Dravya, by the objects of sense enjoyment. Kriya, the activities of the senses. Hetu, the predominating deities of sensory activities. Ayana, the body. Isha, the predominating time. Kartribihi, by false egotism. maya gunahai, by the modes of material nature. Vastu, as a fact. Nirakshita, being observed. Atmane, unto the Supreme Soul. Anvikshya, by careful consideration. Anga, by the limbs of yogic practice. Atishya atmabuddhi, by those whose intelligence has become fixed. Nirasta, completely freed from maya, the illusory energy. Akritiye, whose form. Namaha, all respectful obeisances. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Translation. The objects of material enjoyment, sound, form, taste, touch, and smell, the activities of the senses, the controllers of sensory activities, the demigods, the body, eternal time, and egotism are all creations of your material energy. Those whose intelligence has become fixed by perfect execution of mystic yoga can see that all these elements result from the actions of your external energy. They can also see your transcendental form as super soul in the background of everything. Therefore, I repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The objects of material enjoyment, the sensory activities, attachment to sensual pleasure, the body, false egotism, and so on, are produced by the Lord's external energy, maya. The background of all these activities is the living being, and the director of the living beings is the super soul. The living being is not the all and all. He is directed by the super soul. In Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, text 15, Krishna confirms this. Sarvasya chaham vidhi sanavishto matak smritir jnanam upovanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The living entity depends on the super soul for directions. A person advanced in spiritual knowledge, or a person expert in the practice of mystic yoga, yam niyam asana, and so on, can understand transcendence either as Paramatma or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is the original cause of all natural events. Therefore, He is described as Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. Behind everything visible to our material eyes is some cause, and one who can see the original cause of all causes, Lord Krishna, can actually see. Krishna, the Satchidananda Vigraha, is the background of everything, as He Himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, text 10. Maya dyakshena prakati suyate sa chadacharam hetunanena kontiya jagat vipari vortate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and non-moving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So, dravyakriya het vavane shikha kartrivir maya gunarvastu nirikshitatmane anvikshyangatishayatma buddhivir nirastamaya krithaye namo namaha. So, So Om Gana Timinanda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tosmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So what you're hearing about here is basically the Achintya Veda Veda Tattva philosophy. For those of you who don't know what that means in one sense the Lord is one and different from everything simultaneously. The Lord is one with his energy because the energies come from him. And he's also different, and also it's described that the Lord has multifarious energies. Purasha Shaktir Vivadaiva Shriyate Svabhavaki Jnana Balakriyacha. And also, Vishnu Shakti Pura Prokta Shetrakyakyatata Pura Vidyakarma Sanginya Shatira Shakti Ishate. And I'll translate those verses. That the first one is the Lord has multifarious energies. The second verse is the Lord's energies are divided into three categories. And those three categories, that's called Tattva Traya. In case you want to impress people with Sanskrit, that means the three tattvas. Tattva means a principle, basically. The principle that cannot be changed. Okay. And the three tattvas are the material energy, which is avidya karma, where we are right now. And then the living entity, Krishna Shakti Pura Prokta. And the spiritual energy. Those are the three categories of energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here the verse talks about using intelligence, which is really interesting. So the intelligence is meant to help us understand how to utilize the Lord's energies. Although it is described that everything is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still we have something called free will. So if you are in Maya, I didn't say you are in Maya, I say if you are in Maya. So if you are in Maya, it's your fault. Don't blame Krishna. Of course, Krishna does say, Mama Maya Dharachya, this Maya of mine is very strong. But the reason we are in Maya is because we have turned our face away from Krishna. And then we have this free will. And this free will, how we utilize our free will, depends upon our desire. And depending upon our desire, we get a specific type of intelligence, which is described here in this verse. So if one wants to enjoy this material energy, you get intelligence how to enjoy the material energy. And if you want to forget Krishna, you're going to get intelligence how to forget Krishna. So it all depends on your desire, what you want. And then you get specific intelligence. And if you want to remember Krishna, Krishna gives you intelligence on how to utilize this material energy in his service. That is called Yukta Vairagya. Now this is a very important principle. The principle of Yukta Vairagya. Because as described here, these are Krishna's energies. So therefore they're meant to be used for Krishna. So Yukta Vairagya means the renunciation of understanding it belongs to Krishna and using it for Krishna. And not only does it mean using the gross elements for Krishna, but the subtle elements. What's described in the Isopanishad, that if one wants to be Krishna conscious, one has to cultivate knowledge of transcendence and nescience. That may come as a shock to you. That you have to cultivate knowledge of the material world in order to go back to Godhead. That doesn't mean that I want each and every one of you to go to the university and leave your Krishna conscious duties and cultivate knowledge in the material world. But Prabhupada said we should understand sociology, psychology, just like the devotees. They're attending this college, the GBC College. I think Ananta Prabhu has attended the GBC College. Right? And so they're learning not only about Krishna, but you're learning about how the material world functions as far as organizational development is concerned, right? You're learning all sorts of different charts. It's quite interesting, isn't it? Interesting. I mean, you basically think, I just want to chant Hare Krishna. Why are they teaching me this stuff? So, because it's important to understand how to run a temple. Temples should not be run spontaneously. You have to have organization. You have to have organizational charts. And, of course, Ananta is very expert in that, right? That's why this temple is running so well. Actually, one time Prabhupada was commenting on how unexpert the devotees were, because they were all sleeping during Bhagavatam class. And Prabhupada said, this movement is only going on by Krishna's mercy. So people expect, like, Krishna, you know, Krishna says in the Gita, what? He's going to carry what we lack, provide what we have. Okay, Krishna, carry what I lack and provide and protect what I have. Okay, and I'm just going to sit here. So as far as spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, too, it requires study. Not only of Krishna consciousness, but study of the situation in which you're preaching Krishna consciousness. Like Srila Prabhupada, he studied the Western world, not because he thought the Western world was so wonderful, but because he thought he wanted to spread Krishna consciousness in the Western world, in particular scenario, time, place, and circumstance. And we also find the incarnations of the Lord, they appear and they present Krishna consciousness according to time, place, and circumstance. So it's important to study material science to become a leader in the Krishna consciousness movement. Of course, one should not get too much into the study of the material world. I'll give you an example of someone who studied a lot of the material world. It was appropriate for him, but not for us. Once upon a time, there was an incarnation of Lord Shiva. His name was Shankaracharya. And Shankaracharya, he only stayed in this world for 32 years. Pretty amazing. He had so much impact. Lord Chaitanya only stayed for 48 years. Of course, Bhagavatam says that what is the use of a prolonged life without Krishna consciousness? It's like the life of the bellows breathing and the life of the trees standing for many years. Anyway, so Shankaracharya, he wanted to learn about the material world. It's an interesting story. So he was having Because he was having an argument with a lady philosopher. And he was having an argument about mundane love. Something a sannyasi is not supposed to know about. Anyway, so he was having an argument about mundane love, and he didn't know too much about it because he was a sannyasi. So what's a sannyasi to do when you're having an argument about mundane love? So what he did to learn about the material world was quite interesting, and I don't think any of you can do the same thing. He went into a yogic trance and entered into the body of a dead king. You know the story? Some of you may have heard this story. There was a king, and kings know a lot about the material world because they're kings. And they have a lot of queens, and they have a lot of whatever, money, a lot of everything. So in order to learn about the material world, he went into this trance, entered the body of the dead king, and the king that had just died stood up. Okay, I'm alive again. And he got a chance to experiencing what it was like to be a materialist. And then, as soon as he had gotten enough experience, probably a few seconds, then he dropped that body of the dead king, because he was a yogi, Shankaracharya's incarnation of Lord Shiva. He dropped that body and came back and defeated the lady in argument. And the lady was defeated, and her husband took sannyas. This is a happy ending to that story. So the reason I'm telling that story is that he made some endeavor to learn about the material world. Of course, we should not take that same endeavor. It's not that you should study the yoga postures and leave your body and enter the body of some politicians to try to understand these things. But it's important to study different aspects of the material world, because our movement is meant to actually create a revolution in the misdirected lives of impious civilization, and also be in charge of society eventually. And many of us have forgotten the goal of our movement is to basically be in charge of the world. Take over. Revolution. Many of us think that that is just some prediction in the Shastras, and it's not going to happen. And even if it is going to happen, you know, it's going to happen because Lord Chaitanya will do it, and we can all sit back and watch Lord Chaitanya do it. You know, we depend on the prophecy. Many of us have that mood. Let's just depend on the prophecy. This movement will take over the whole world. And as a result, you know, we keep on doing the same thing every day and not having the results that we're seeing, that we want, you understand? And thinking, well, it's all going to happen because of the prophecy. This is less intelligent. Actually, it's going to happen because we use our intelligence to spread Krishna consciousness, to manage the movement properly, to preach Krishna consciousness in such a way that's appropriate according to the particular culture we're in. And it requires a great deal of thinking, intelligence, to try to figure that out. Just like I was recently at the Serbian summer camp, and I've been thinking, you know, how to connect the devotees and to connect others with Krishna more and more. You know, thinking about this. Because that's actually, why do people come to the movement? Why do people stay in the movement? Why are people attracted to the movement? Because they feel connected. Somehow or they feel ecstasy. You know, they're connected with Krishna. And why do people leave? Because they feel Jai Shri Shri Panchatattva, Panchatattva Kija. Because they feel disconnected. So we did some experiments in our seminar. One experiment we had was having a devotee sing the Gora Arti song in Croatian. You know, I just wanted to see how people would react to that. So they sang, this is Mahajwala, he sung the Gora Arti song in Croatian, which I didn't understand. So to me it was Hare Krishna. So, but I was amazed at how the devotees reacted afterwards. How did they react afterwards? They threw me out? No. You're in Maya. You know, you're doing this nonsense. The tears were coming from the devotee's eyes. I said, why are you crying? Is he such a bad singer? No, he's quite a good singer. So, because they were feeling connected. I mean, that's just one example. I'm not saying that we should change our songs into English or anything like that. I'm not that radical. I'm pretty conservative. But we have to see what works. Great Acharya Albert Einstein said, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. So we have to strain our minds, pray to Krishna. In fact, Prabhupada describes in the Upadeshamrita, his definition of what it means to be a Mahabhagwat. He says that Mahabhagwat is one who doesn't deviate or fall down from devotional service, is always thinking how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. And that defines Srila Prabhupada, as we say, to a T. Because Srila Prabhupada was always ready to adjust, was always ready to do things that even would go against some secondary Vedic rules in order to spread Krishna consciousness. Sometimes some sadhus in India and even some of his godbrothers criticized Prabhupada for taking a boat or a plane across the ocean. They said, Lord Chaitanya, he just walked. That was their criticism. Lord Chaitanya walked. Why are you doing something different than Lord Chaitanya? And Prabhupada said, that's insanity. You expect me to walk across the ocean? Actually, one time I was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada arrived by airplane, and he said to the reporters that I came by airplane, but I could have come by magic carpet, or I could have come by mantra. I had arranged this darshan with Prabhupada with all the reporters, and all the reporters were just shocked. You know, how is it? Why did you come by plane then, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, so you could relate to me. So, in any case, Prabhupada used this principle of yukta vairagya. At the same time, we have to be careful of not employing too much of the material energy so that it goes beyond our level of being able to employ the material energy. Because if one becomes enamored with the material energy, then one can actually fall down from devotional service. So it's a fine line. So yukta vairagya, we should pray to Krishna to give us the intelligence on how to use his material energy, understanding it belongs to him. And also when things are outside of our control, see Krishna in everything. Always see Krishna in everything, but especially see that Krishna is putting us in a particular situation for our own benefit. The whole point is described by Krishna in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 20, I believe. Yomam pashati sarvacha, sarvam jamayi pashati, tashaham na pranashyami, sachame na pranashyati. The whole point is to see Krishna in everything and everywhere, and as Krishna says, then you'll never be lost to him, and he'll never be lost to you. Somehow or other, see Krishna everywhere. Pray to Krishna for intelligence on how to spread the Krishna conscious movement. Don't be afraid to learn things about the material world in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Don't be afraid to use things in the material world in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this way, always be connected. Anyway, I'll make class short today. Any questions or comments about any of the points I made? Questions? Yes.
The verse from Upanishad may also refer to Sankhya.
Sankhya, yeah.
Sankhya philosophy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, the senses, the active senses, the perceptive senses, yeah. So, yes, it may also refer to that. That's true. But Prabhupada specifically said that devotees should, at least the devotees who are leaders, should be expert in sociology, psychology, and management. Like there's that conversation that Prabhupada had with Giriraj Maharaj. Prabhupada asked Giriraj Maharaj, how will this movement go on? And Giriraj Maharaj replied, if we're Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada said something like, no, with intelligence and management. So we have to utilize our God-given intelligence. And not think that these things are Maya. Not think that, you know, going to the GBC college is Maya. It's actually important to organize a worldwide society. Worldwide society means professional management, assessments. Isn't it, Ananta? He asked me to talk about this in class. So, not really. It means professional management. I mean, devotees, we tend to be very spontaneous and depending on Krishna to carry what we lack. But if we have the ability to carry what we lack ourselves, we should do it and not simply turn Krishna into our order supplier. So intelligence is absolutely required. So, any other questions? Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So my question is, how do we take responsibility when sometimes it changes what we want to do and it's not clear but these are surveys. We are looking for permanent service.
Well, if we're not clear about what we should be doing, we should inquire from advanced devotees and, you know, take shelter of the association devotees. And then we can find out what we should be doing. That's pretty easy. If we try to decide ourselves, it's very likely we're going to be an illusion. So we take shelter from other devotees, and we can also study under the instruction of devotees, you know, study different material things to understand how, I mean, just like in distributing books, there's different techniques in distributing books. If you take a seminar from Vaisheshika, for example, he'll teach you the magic hand technique. Anyone's heard about that before? You put your hand out like this, it stops anybody. He says the hand has mystic power. Even if you see someone from the opposite, anyone, you've heard that. If you see someone from the opposite side of the street, hi. The person thinks, oh, do I know him? If I ignore him, he'll be insulted. Okay, I got to go up. And he goes up and says, hi. And then finally you trapped him, you gave him a book. So anyway, that's a technique. So we learn about different techniques, techniques of management, techniques of selling books. Devotees are going on the internet, using the internet for preaching Krishna consciousness. I mean, I remember the first time I had a mobile, I was the first one in ISKCON to have a mobile phone. Haribo. So anyway, pretty good. Of course, at that time, the mobile phone was this big. Actually, this big. And I had to get a bigger bead bag to hold it. So the bead bag was also this big. Anyway, so I remember sitting in the GBC meeting, and the mobile phone rang. And remember, no one had a mobile phone except for me. And they said, you're in Maya. And now everybody has a mobile phone. So everybody's in Maya. Same thing happened with computers. I was the first one to get a computer. and then everyone said, oh, you're in Maya with a computer. And I said, the PAMHO system, which we have in ISKCON, used to be called COM. And I said, well, you should use COM. And they said, that's why you're not COM. C-A-L-M, you know, COM. Yeah, anyway, it's a play on words. So, and now everybody's doing it. So, devotees should be on the cutting edge. I mean, not only, because technology I always love, but it can be used in Krishna's service. Now you see all these devotees. I mean, this morning, I looked on the internet, I saw all these devotees using the internet to present Krishna consciousness. There was a nice video that Radhanath Maharaj put out about a boat, and how you have to take shelter of the spiritual master. You seen that video? Very nice. How you have to take the spiritual master is the captain of the boat, and the favorable breezes, the Vedic literature is the favorable breezes that help you cross the ocean of material existence. At the same time, there was a video of a boat. And it was very touching. It made me think, oh, I have to become Krishna conscious now. So, so in other words, things can be used in Krishna's service. But if you try to use too much, you'll be in Maya. I'll give you an example of that. Once upon a time, many years ago, I was working for the BBT in Los Angeles. And devotees had gotten this newest piece of technology. It was called a telex machine. I don't know if any of you know what that means. A telex machine is a typewriter that you type on it, and it types the same thing like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 kilometers away. It's before there were faxes or email or any of that other stuff. So devotee, we were showing Prabhupada the telex machine. And showing Prabhupada, it's a miracle, look at this. And devotees type back from New York or something like that. And Prabhupada said, they'll simply use it to gossip. And so we see people using the technology in that way, simply using the gossip. Another example is we showed Prabhupada the machine we were using for typesetting in Los Angeles. It had a computer. It was the first computer with punch cards, you know what I'm talking about, tape with little holes in it. Really interesting. It was all over the room, tape with holes in it. Anyone's worked with the computers knows what I'm talking about. And we were proud of it. We said, Prabhupada, look at this computer. And Prabhupada looked at it and said, it's all useless unless you can produce 17 books in 2 months. So Prabhupada was saying, unless we use it in Krishna's service properly, fully, it's all illusion or maya. So we don't want to be captured by Krishna's material energy. If we're going to accept something, we have to use it in Krishna's service, not just to enjoy it. Just like if you're studying sociology, history, or whatever, and just enjoying all these things, that's all maya. It's all illusion. You have to use it in Krishna's service. So that's called Yukta Vairagya. So, any other questions or comments? Or arguments? Yes?
I would like to spend some of my free time studying sociology or psychology, but I don't know if I would be able to connect this knowledge.
Osim da upišem neki fakultet psihologije zapadni, ne razumijem na koji način.
I don't know how to utilize this knowledge. If I And where to acquire it? Okay. Go to some university.
That's a good question. That's a very good question. So, first of all, become fixed in Krishna consciousness. In other words, fixed in your sadhana, fixed in your knowledge of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, because as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, too much education can make you as foolish as an ass. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then, see what service you have to do for Krishna, whether that education is useful for your service to Krishna. If your service is cooking in the kitchen and that's all you're going to do, then probably better not to go to the university. I mean, how's that going to help you? But if your service is leading the movement, advising devotees, you better learn about psychology. You better learn about sociology a little bit. If your service is preaching, you better learn a little bit about marketing. Maybe not too much. It's not saying that everybody should go to the university and become a PhD in marketing. But it depends on your service. Right? I mean, it's practical. So you consult. You consult with Ananta. He's the boss here. Nobody comes to Krishna but through Ananta here. Vishnu. So, now you consult with the older advanced devotees. What is my service? Everything's based on service. If you're going to drive the Sankirtan vehicle, you better have a driving license and take... It's not maya. If Krishna wants me to learn how to drive, I'll drive spontaneously. Will you also crash the car spontaneously, too? So you better go for a course, right? To learn how to drive and get your driver's license. If you're going to learn how to play the harmonium, sometimes it's good to get lessons, right? Sometimes. Or if you're going to learn to play the drum... You know, Actually, I never learned to play the drum, unfortunately. So I just, in the beginning of the movement, I thought I played the drum, and I just kept slapping it a lot. But I never bothered to take a lesson, which was stupid. Now I'm too old for that. Because you can't teach an old sannyasi new tricks. So our movement, is the way our movement's going now is that people are taking different services and they're getting training for it. How to be a temple president, how to be a GBC. You know, when I became GBC, it was, okay, you're GBC, depend on Krishna. You're in charge. Okay. What does it mean? Learn on the job. On the job training. In other words, you make a lot of mistakes, fry out a lot of devotees, and finally after 35 years of being a GBC, you figure out what it is. So it's better to get educated first, isn't it? So some education, material education, not for everybody. It depends on your service to Krishna. Otherwise, how do you serve Krishna? So any other questions or comments? Yes.
Adipurusha Prabhu is interpreting the verse you were mentioning in Vishvanishad as that we cannot properly perform transcendental activities without considering our conditioned nature.
Yes.
It's interpreted in that way that we cannot worship avidya without considering. So he's saying this is not a suggestion to get into study or the ignorance, but to consider this conditioning which you have and when performing transcendental activities.
That's a proper understanding your condition. But if you want to spread Krishna consciousness, you better understand the condition of everything else too. You better understand. I mean, there's a lot of unpacking that particular verse. It also refers to the majority of verses in the Bhagavad Gita that deal with the material world and the modes of nature. Yeah, actually, I did a count of how many verses in the Bhagavad Gita deal with each subject matter. And it turns out that more verses deal with the modes of nature and the material world than any other verses in Bhagavad Gita. It's interesting. So you have to understand the modes of nature, you know, Sankhya, everything like that. But you also have to understand, in order to preach Krishna consciousness, what's happening out there in society. I mean, you really have to know the law, too. Like I mentioned, driving a car or doing anything practical in this world. So both things are applicable. I'm not disagreeing with that understanding. I'm just adding to it.
Considering in regard to his question, what if he wants a service where he can use the material knowledge he wants to get? What about that? But if he wants such a service, is it all right to get into study?
Well, I think one has to consult with the other devotees. That's the whole point. We can't, like Prabhupada said, we are like many sticks. You put the sticks together, they can't be broken. One stick by itself can be broken. Prabhupada encouraged certain devotees like Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj to continue with his education. We have other devotees right now who are working in the Bhaktivedanta Institute in Mumbai, and they have a wonderful division there. I don't know if anyone's visited their institute. They gave me a whole tour this year. There's this devotee, Rasaraj, I think you know him. He's studying right now quantum mechanics and coming up with an understanding how this fits into our understanding of the material world, you know, consciousness. Because actually the scientists are heading in that same direction right now of information theory. Everything's based on information or consciousness. So I'm not going to get into detail on this right now. So Prabhupada very much wanted, he was taking money out of his book fund to pay for the Bhaktivedanta Institute. For Swarup Damodar Goswami to preach Krishna consciousness on that level. Prabhupada was... his book fund money he considered to be sacred, but still he took his... He said, give him as much as he needs. And Prabhupada never said that about anything, any other project in ISKCON. Give them as much money as they need. Give them. To temples, Prabhupada was having the BBT lend money, not give money. But to the Bhaktivedanta Institute, he was giving money. So, you know, so there's different services for each and every devotee. I'm not suggesting that everybody gets material education. I'm suggesting that for certain people taking certain positions, roles in the preaching movement, it's absolutely required. I mean, that's why our management of our movement is becoming more and more, let us say, expert. We're doing strategic planning. We're doing so many things that 30 years ago I would have thought would be Maya. I would say, you know, this is Maya. Why are the devotees engaged in Maya right now? Just depend on Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, and Krishna will take care of everything. In the old days, Krishna did take care of everything. That's true. I remember I was in a temple, and we couldn't pay the rent on our building. And we had no idea how to pay the rent. So we went out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Krishna will help us. And lo and behold, some man walks up, hands us an envelope with all the money for the rent, and runs away. We don't even know who that is. And we pay the rent. Wow. Let's do things like that from now on. Right? Yeah, don't worry about money, Ananta. Just go on Harinam. Yeah, don't do any counting. No computer, no accounting. Just chant Hare Krishna. And someone will walk up and give you the money to pay the expenses on the temple, right? Good. You have more faith than me. So, but you were talking about sending someone to learn marketing to increase the income of the store, right? So that's education in Krishna's service. So devotees should be expert. That's one of the qualities of a devotee. Daksha. Not daksha like daksha having many kids. But the word daksha means expert. So devotees, whatever we do, we should be expert in. Whether you're cooking, whether you're cleaning, be expert. You don't have to go to school to clean. But whatever, management. And we have our own schools too now, which is very good. Philosophy. We have a bhakti school, right? You don't expect people just to learn the philosophy just by osmosis. You know what osmosis is? You know what it is. Anyway, just by absorbing, sitting there and absorbing from the elder devotees, you have to study. Okay, I think it's time for prasadam. Yeah, oh yeah, one other question.
Lisa? If we go to study on university or something, and there we, these mentors or professors, do we need to accept them like an authority, and we have to trust them that actually they will we will learn something from them? Because
well, I mean, you don't trust them the same way you trust your guru. You don't have to offer your obeisances. My dear doctor, doctor, whatever, strange, or Dr. Einstein, no. Heigelstein, my dear doctor, Dr. Freud. No, because they have so many different theories about things. But we can take, a devotee is like a swan who can take nectar from even a filthy. So you take whatever's applicable. It's not that we surrender to our professors. That would be ridiculous. But we take what's necessary for serving Krishna. I mean, I learned so much at the university that I'm using in Krishna's service. I learned how to write. I learned how to read. how to speak. And then, you know, devotees, sometimes they're so spontaneous. I mean, there's another thing. I guess I shouldn't mention it. But devotees should take singing lessons. It's a good idea. Because sometimes I'm at kirtans, everyone's singing off key. It's like, Hare Krishna, help! Get me out of here, Krishna. You know, so devotees should take, you know, if they're going to play something or sing something, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with getting education to learn how to play the mridanga. Is there? You know, or playing the harmonium or singing or whatever. Or giving a class or whatever. So it depends on your service. With my service, I have to be aware of sociology, psychology. What else? Hermeneutics, philosophy. I have to learn all these things because it's part of my service. So anyway, so that's Yukta Vairagya. And we're using a microphone, we're using mobile phones. And usually we're the first person who adopts new technology. Right? I was using computers before Ananta was using computers. And now, it's part of his body. Okay, I think we have to end now because it's time for prasadam. All glories to Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.